time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Happy St. Patrick's Day. I got the green. I got the Niners green hat on. I know the color scheme's going to be a little bit off today, but that's okay. If you see the leprechaun, say yeah. One of the greatest videos of all time. Anyway, let's get to why we are here. 49ers offseason. It just continues to just trek in a major, major positive light. With the addition of wide receiver Christian Kirk yesterday on a one-year, $6 million deal. Now, I put out a clip and made a couple statements, you know, early on this offseason where I said, you know, I think the 49ers wide receiver room in its current state, it's in contention for the worst in the NFL heading into the offseason. Picked up some steam for whatever reason. And so every time a wide receiver addition or something happens, I keep getting asked like, okay, where do they rank now? Where do they rank now? Where do they rank now? It kind of gave just some off the cuff ranking. So I decided, man, everybody keeps asking me, let's go through. So I spent a large part this morning going through all 32 wide receiver rooms and their current status. did adjust after the Jaylen Waddle trade for sure. Not that that really changed, you know, any of what I thought was going on, but went through and did that, and man, where they ranked was quite interesting. So we're going to share some of that. We're going to dive into for sure some draft talk with, you know, you've got a couple different mock drafts coming out today. Mel Kiper had his, Daniel Jeremiah had his, want to update those, and then dive in just through some draft talk of my own. As you know, We've gone through and, you know, we're working on this 200-person big board which is fun because the 49ers, all their picks are within the top 140. So you've got to give some grace in the past. Like last year, I think we did 350. Ron Burgundy, about 350. This year, we're tamping it down because the 49ers don't have a fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick. Does not mean we're going to have every single player graded that the 49ers actually go out and draft, because we've said this so many times. The 49ers board is the most unique draft board of all 32 teams in the NFL. They do everything their own way. It is driven by the coaches, not the scouts, and those things. So got some draft takeaways just from how many first round grades that we have. Some kind of surprises against consensus on the stacking of rankings at offensive tackle or the edge position or wide receiver position. And so we want to dive into some of those as well. So very, very fun show. This is episode 1621 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew, helping us, a free way to support the show and help with the algorithm just to try to get some more people up there. Appreciate you, Brody, my man. Steven, with Waddle being traded to the Broncos, what are your thoughts on the 49ers trading back from 27 to 30? To gain draft capital? I would try to trade BA to Miami for their third rounder. Yeah, I trade BA to anybody for anything. I probably would not trade him to the Commanders, though. That's Petty Chapman. You know, right? He was making the fake videos with, you know, whatever the practice tape. I would trade him to anybody but the Commanders. If the Commanders offered a fifth, I would trade him to any other team for a sixth, and I don't think anybody's really offering anything for him, but the Niners need to hold on to him. So let's talk about this, you know, updated world in the draft, because now the Dolphins are in full tank mode. You have three teams that are in full-on tank mode: the Arizona Cardinals in your own division, and then two AFC East teams in the Dolphins and the Jets. I mean, it is a bad situation. Now, the 49ers are picking 27th. The Dolphins are picking 30th. That is a 60-point discrepancy on the Jimmy Johnson trades chart. So to fall back to 60, Miami does not have any picks in that realm. Now, they have pick 130, which is in between your four draft picks, which is equivalent to 42 points. So let me refilter this so I can highlight all of Miami's picks, and then we can kind of figure this out, okay? So in this is – here we go. I'm going to – I don't even know if this is going to be beneficial, but we're going to do it anyway. I want to share my screen and show you kind of what I always operate under. It's one of my favorite sites. This is DraftTech's trade chart, and every single team has this printed several places in their war room, and they all operate under this. Let me enlarge in just so it's maybe not so scrambled. These are Miami's picks, okay? And so it just describes a point value to every single pick that you have. Now, the 49ers, you can kind of see over here at pick 27, 680. So to fall to 30, you're talking about a 60-point jump. So then the question becomes, okay, like how do you mitigate that? They have this 42-point draft pick, or if they want to overpay, they have a third-rounder pick 94 for 124. So maybe you could do Miami's number 30 and Miami's 94. Now you're off about 40 points, but the 49ers could give pick 133. So you fall back three spots in the first round, picking at 30. No qualms with that. But you're jumping up from 133 to 94. So you're jumping up 40 spots from fourth back into the fourth round to back into the third round. Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% in on that. You look at kind of the Dolphins and where they are. They need everything. They need everything. They are 100% tank mode. So, yeah, like, I depending on what is there, that's not a trade you make pre-draft. That is a trade that you have worked out on the phones pre-draft, but not executed. And so here's what happens. You do these calls with everybody. Every general manager do this. You pre-work trades because the board just goes so quick and the clock goes so quick so that you're saying, hey, Dolphins, let's say we're on the board at 27 and you want to jump up. Here's, let's work out a deal now. Now, if there's a player at 27 that we like for the 49ers, we're taking them. We're not trading you. But let's just say hypothetically, not there. Let's work that out now. So you'll have this written out. Okay, here are our trades with Miami. We're going to get pick 30, and we're going to get pick 94. They're going to get pick 27. They're going to get pick 133. All right, we agree on that now? Cool. If the board falls a certain way and we want to do this, cool. So 49ers on the board at 27. Guy you want's not there. Call Miami. We already got that deal. Let's see if they'll swap with us. You call Miami. Bring, right? Phone rings. Hey, you guys still want to do that deal? Miami says, no, the guy we want, it's not there. Sorry. Or they say yes, and then the deal happens. That's kind of the nature of the business. And so you'll have all of these pre-work trades for like 10 to 12 teams before the draft day even starts, just in case somebody falls or just in case whatever. So yeah, Steven, wonderful scenario that you put together. I love it. Oh, look at all the hashtag CCs. We're coming in strong. We're coming in strong. The offseason has just been an absolute blast. Look at this, Maria. Excited for the stream with all the free agent moves. Yeah, you look at last year, the 49ers added zero starters, offense or defensively. This year, I think we're up to five starters. Mike Evans, clearly starter, right? Dre Greenlaw, clearly starter. Osa Odighizuwe, clearly starter. Christian Kirk, he's going to start in the slot. You want to put that in there as a starter or not, that's okay. That's four. And I'm going to also argue, man, the details of that Brett Tarth deal came out. That dude's, they paid him twice what they paid Ben Bartsch last year for that left guard spot. And he started, he was the outright starter. Got injured. That's what he does. I mean, it's only $2.5 million and, you know, $2.2 million guaranteed for Brett Tarth. But I think it's going to be him versus Connor Colby out there. So, I mean, the fact that five starters last year, zero, this year, five starters, not too excited about Brett Tarth, but like, that's a starter. That's a starter. So you're getting so much more addition to your team. That's fun, man. It's fun. Appreciate it. Oh, look at this, Steven. Love the hat. That's the Miami colors. It may be a side. Yeah, I had to wear something green, right? Like, I love St. Patty's Day. It used to be one of my favorite days of the year whenever I was a bartender. We would crush it on this day. Now I'm not a bartender. Now I partake in the way. I'm sitting on the other side. But I love St. Patty's. It's funny whenever I wear this hat. This is my pool hat, like whenever I go on vacation. I get, man, that's the coolest hat ever, or I get, I absolutely hate that hat. Nobody is just okay with this hat. They hate it or they love it. It's like the, you know, Saved by the Bell 1990s 49ers, whatever. Yeah, Logan, not going to lie, I don't love the hat, but I do like to listen to the man that's wearing it. I'll take it. That's what's up. What's up, Salty? How we doing, man? Sean, what's up, man? Mosquito Killer, my man. He says, curious where are we going to draft now? Definitely defensive end, I am sure. I don't speed edge rusher is the paramount, not even close. There's not a first, second, third immediate need on this team. Safety is a big need, but that's the 49ers don't care about that position. Never have since Shanahan showed up at all. Never draft high. You did draft in the third round, Jair Brown. But outside of that, you haven't spent really any draft capital on the position. Fourth rounder, Mustafa. Fifth rounder, Hufanga. But like back end. You look at the people they have signed. Tayshawn Gibson off the street. Like, they do not value the safety position like a lot of people do in the NFL. And Richard Sherman recently on his podcast was asked, you know, what's the biggest need? And he said safety. He's a DB. He played, you know, with Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. He's been a part of that. Safety's a big deal, but not in the first for the 49ers. Now, if you told me the 49ers took Dillon Thienemann out of Oregon, I'd be happy as hell at 27. I think that dude is a freaking baller. And a huge need. Awesome. Plug and play. You've got a safety for the next decade. I'd be cool with that. But yeah, the needs now on this roster, speed edge, right? Your bend edge pass rush specialist, clear, number one. Safety, number two. Left guard, but the 49ers don't pay. Again, follow their track history. They don't pay for guards. They really, really don't. Now, long-term Trent replacement, sure. But when you look at the moves of this offense or this offseason, none of the moves have been long-term calculated plays. You're signing beyond vet, you know, Mike Evans. Osa, he's 26, so that's a long-term play. Charlie Kirk's 30 years old. That's not long-term. Dre Greenlaw's 30 years old. It's a lot of immediate needs. So now you're going to go into the draft with a first-round pick, and you're going to spend it on a eventual left tackle replacement. Not really the way the 49ers have done business. I would not be upset with it, but I'm telling you right now, like, if you're looking at the draft, speed edge has to be paramount. That's number one, and there's a giant gap. I would say safety, left guard, eventual left tackle replacement, center. But again, one does not simply replace a Jake Brendel. I laugh as I die inside just a little bit. It's what it is. Now, I do believe that wide receiver is still there, right? The idea that you have Mike Evans, who's 32, you brought in Christian Kirk, who's 30 on a one-year deal. Long-term wide receiver, still major need. Still major need. No doubt about that. Even if you have hope for Jacob Cowing or Jordan Watkins, and you do believe Ricky Pearsall is a Pro Bowler, still going to need something. And yeah, wide receiver still in play. Maybe not for immediate need, but that's where that is. And yeah, right here. What has changed on your draft priorities going to this offseason? It's speed rush, which was always there, but that is number one. So again, speed rusher, safety, left guard, but I don't think the 49ers see that. I think they're fine with Connor Colby and, you know, Brett Toth fighting it out for that spot. But those two are the glaring and long-term wide receiver. You still need a wide receiver. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than PrizePicks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. And you're seeing this market. The wide receiver position is just bananas. And so you draft something that is cheap and you work your way into it. It's going to be there. And I know everybody's going to keep saying, oh, line. The 49ers don't see it that way. I see it that way. I wish they would invest in the offensive line. But the 49ers, like you've heard Kyle Shanahan, you've heard John Lynch this offseason already talk about how much they love their offensive line. That's just what it is. Mattitude, what's up, man? You are the freaking man. Cooper out at 27 now? No. I think that's a little rich for him. I know the fans love Cooper. His film is fun. I'm a little bit lower on him. Now, it's funny. I say lower on him. He's going to come around 27 in my overall rankings. I don't have a first-round grade on him. I do have a second round grade on him, and I like Omar Cooper considerably. And I do think that he fits a lot of what the 49ers do. But I don't like him as much as a lot of other people. I have a breakdown up on him. It's on the 49ersrush.com. Go check it out. He's awesome. I would be happy with the 49ers taking Omar Cooper Jr. at 27 because he's a football player, and I think that he fits and he can play lots of spots. I'm just not so sure what his elite traits are besides effort and just trying hard all the freaking time, which is valuable. But I don't see that those as first-round traits a lot of times. I do think Omar Cooper Jr. goes in the first round. I don't have a first-round grade on him. I have 17 first-round grades? Yeah, 17 first-round grades. And I don't remove anybody from my big board for, you know, injuries, off-field, medical, whatever. I build my board and I flag certain players, but I don't take them off. So I have 17 first-round grades, which is a little high. Now, a lot of those players aren't going to be on the 49ers board. They're just not. Like, that's just not the way that they build their board, right? If they're not a scheme fit, they just chunk them. Like, we're not even putting that guy on our board. So I grade everybody. And we grade everybody, and so we find a place for everybody. But Omar Cooper Jr., I have a second-round grade on. But again, I have 17 players in the first round, right? So that's barely half of the first round. That means there's got to be, 15 more players that get drafted in the actual first round than I have first-round grades for. Does that make sense? Anyway, right here, take any offer from the Browns or Jets for BA. Yeah, I'm all in on that. Yes, send him to the worst of the worst. I love that. What's up, Tattoo Jesus? My man, made a lie. Appreciate you. Gibbro, my man, thank you so much for the super chat. Love hearing the rankings. It takes a lot to, like, grade. And so, like, right now, here's what my mornings and afternoons consist of, which I love. I'm very, very thankful. Oh, look at that. The super chat color matches my shirt. There we go. We playing this. We did not plan this. here's what my days consist of right now. I do chunks of five. So me and the 49ers Rush draft team, which there's about five of us that have been working our ass off for months. They're working very, very hard. I'm not working as hard, but I'm trying my hardest to. They are incredible, man. And so we build background, stats, analytics, film notes, comps, you know, overall consensus grades, what background awards, you name it. And so we flesh out this profile, and then, you know, we go through and watch tape and you add all this stuff in and you just collect. Then once you have a full position done or several positions done, now you have to stack them vertically, okay, just within their position. So wide receivers, we'll play this game, okay? Yeah, you have your guys that are quote-unquote consensus first round, you know, top 32 players, okay? So I'll throw this out here. I've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that I consider kind of in a tier of their own. Now, I have tiers within those eight. But what you do is you start to watch vertically, okay? So I'll start with my top two guys in this draft class, Carnell Tate and Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State. Those are my top two wide receivers. Denzel Boston's my third. So I watch those three guys that I compare, and I'm like, okay, well, I like this guy more than that guy and this guy more than that guy. Okay, then we'll stack that. And so I keep going till you just stack them all in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then you start to like say, like, okay, does this guy have blue chip traits? Where are the misses at, right? Like, why will this player not work out at the NFL level? Why will this player excel or be a Pro Bowler at the NFL level? And one of the things that I'm guilty of, this is my own personal bias when evaluating players, do they have any blue chip traits? Is there something they're best at? Oh, best hands in the draft, best release against press coverage, best downfield threat, best over the middle, best yak, best tackle breaker, best, you know, hands at the, you know, contested catches, best something. Like, I want players that separate themselves from the mold, right? So, like I'm going to say, Carnell Tate is a blue-chip player, in my opinion. I only have 4 blue-chip players in this entire draft. Like, this draft is good. I'm not trying to say it's bad, but, like, I'm thankful the 49ers aren't picking 10 this year or 11 like they were last year. Like, no. Like, just this is a good 15 through 50 draft, like, that's kind of like you're going to get a similar player at 16 as you are going to get at 45. Very, very similar. So Carnell Tate is a blue chip player. Now, I struggled with his metrics because he's a lot slower than I would have guessed. But the tape, you start with the tape, you end with the tape. The combine and all these testing numbers are validation points. And whenever you don't get validated, you go back to the tape. So Carnell Tate is probably the best wide receiver he's the best wide receiver in this class at stacking corners vertically, right? So whenever you get a wide receiver that's slower, like Carnell Tate, but then you watch the tape and he's playing elite draft eligible corners week in and week out, and he is stacking them vertically like nobody's business, you kind of just go, man, yeah, the tape, I wish the tape exceeds his 40 time. The 40 isn't everything. Carnell Tate is amazing. I have him in a tier of his own. My next tier is Jordan Tyson, Denzel Boston. Now, Jordan Tyson has the best movement of any wide receiver. You're talking uncanny separating ability where you're talking, shoot, Brandon Ayuk pre-brain injury, whatever the hell happened there. Like, this dude makes people look stupid. He's like an and one mixtape, right? Like, that guy. Now he's got some medical issues, you know, the consistency factor, whatever else. But the ceiling, if every single wide receiver in this draft class hits their ceiling, the two best wide receivers are going to be Jordan Tyson and Chris Brazel II. Those guys have elite ceilings, which I like targeting early on in the draft. That's what I like to target. Now, the other side of it is, okay, how is this player not going to miss? Well, that brings in Denzel Boston. That dude's like the most pro-ready wide receiver, not named Carnell Tate, in this draft. Like, you don't have to worry about him. He didn't even run his 40 at the combine. He didn't even run a 40 at his pro day. You never thought he was fast. You always thought he was a 4.6. I would have been happy if he ran a 4.55. That was like my ceiling for what he would run. But he goes out there and runs a 6.83 cone at 6.4, and you watch the tape, and it's like, dude, this dude wins vertically. He runs the full complex NFL route tree. Like, this dude, hands are incredible. Like, if you just want the Tony Gwynn, hit a double, hit a single, you ain't going to miss. It's Denzel Boston. So are you a home run guy, Jordan Tyson, or are you a, dude, let's just get on base. Let's just get a solid contributed player. We know what we're getting. Plug and play week one. Just forget about it. Right? That's Denzel Boston. So what is the philosophy that goes into how you ascribe value to these players. Is everything a home run, boom, or bust? Or is it just, man, dude, this guy will make our team better and start for us right now and get the damn job done? That's Denzel Boston. You want a home run? Jordan Tyson. Medical stuff, all that kind of stuff, whatever else. But, man, his tape, whew, you put it against anybody in this class. And if you move Jordan Tyson closer to Carnell Tate, I don't mind that. But those are my only first-round grade wide receivers. And, you know, I have Chris Brazel in a tier of his own. I have him right in that gray area of first to second wide. His traits are just too elite. 4.4 speed, 6.4, amazing sinking his hips in and out of his breaks. You don't see that in the NFL. However, doesn't run the route tree. Like, he is a boom or bust guy. Opposite Denzel Boston. That's why I bumped him down to the second. No experience in NFL scheme or traits at all. Chris Brazel the second. Like, you are betting on traits, on traits. On now, his tape's not bad. He just never was asked to do anything pro-ready. Now, I have a big lump of four wide receivers after that. And I know somebody's like, dude, you ain't said Mekhi Lemon. I'm not a Mekhi Lemon guy. Love the player. He's going to the first round. He's awesome. I don't value slot-only wide receivers with poor testing numbers. I don't do that. If you're an X that wins vertically, I can do that. Slot-only guys, just not my jam. Not my jam, unless you do something elite. Space creator, you know, you've got something. Your routes are incredible. I don't see that with now the tape. You watch Mekhi Lemon, it's like everybody knows it's coming. Nobody can stop it. He's great. But I've got four guys lumped together in my second round grades that I'm going to have to spend a lot more time on differentiating. Here's my order. I've got Chris Bell, KC Concepcion, Mekhi Lemon, Omar Cooper Jr. Love all four of them. I would be happy with the 49ers drafted any of them. But there's issues with all of them. And like I know people are like, Omar Cooper Jr. is behind everybody else. I haven't even got to the chat. I know you're going to be mad at me. But like those four guys, I think Chris Bell I like the most, and he's coming off an ACL. So now you have that injury. Well, how do you want to put that? You know, if he didn't have that injury, I'd probably bump him up to Chris Brazel the second. Like he's that good. He might even be closer to Denzel Boston, but coming off the ACL, that's huge. Not going to be ready until after training camp, until after preseason. You're talking about somebody that's starting to play in October. That's rough, but I take Chris Bell over KC Concepcion, Mekhi Lemon, and Omar Cooper Jr. And I know I'm in the minority there, and that's okay. Like, disagreements are great. It's okay to call me an idiot and make fun of my grandma and all those things. I totally get it. Shout out, Grandma. You're awesome, BB. But disagreements are what I see on tape. I don't want to just do consensus. That's not who we are. And whenever I kept watching and going back between Chris Bell's tape and KC Concepcion's tape, it was easier to see the pro success for Chris Bell than it was KC Concepcion. And then I look at Mekhi Lemon and I'm just like, dude, this guy's never playing outside. He does not have an elite athletic profile. You are betting on Amon-Ra St. Brown against 100 wide receivers built like that with those metrics to have success. Amon-Ra is amazing. Guess where Amon-Ra went? I think fifth round or was it third round? Hey, whatever. Like, I get Amon-Ra, but and maybe he is that. I'm telling you, you're betting freaking zero on a triple zero roulette wheel. Doesn't mean he won't be great. I'd love the 49ers to get him. They won't. He'll be gone before the Niners pick. But Omar Cooper Jr., I do like. I just don't see elite. I see solid, very solid. And again, I put Omar Cooper Jr. close to that Denzel Boston thing. Like, dude's going to be a solid pro. What's your thing? Are you going for high end? Are you going for a single or a double? Omar Cooper Jr. fits that. I just don't know if he can play X. I know Denzel Boston plays X. That's all he plays. It's the hardest wide receiver position in the NFL to get. So I want that premium spot. That's what I want. And it probably went too much. Kimbrough's like, dude, I said I love hearing the rankings. Not that much. EJ, do you sign Debo or Jennings back for a smaller deal? No, I do not. Jennings is gone. Debo, you want to come back for $4 or $5 million? Sure. He will not. and I will not pay more than that. So I think they're both gone. I really, really do. Trade back for a future first and a current second from Pharrell. I would do that in a heartbeat. Nobody's trading 2027 first. That draft class is insane. The only dumbass team that's doing that is the Dallas Cowboys. They're idiots. And that Quinnen Williams trade, they gave up a second this year and a first round next year. And not only a first round next year, the Jets get the higher of their two draft choices because they have the Packers in their own. So whichever one's higher, like the Cowboys are just stupid. Whatever the Cowboys do, you want to go against them. Like you literally just know. The Cowboys are dumb as hell, man. I really don't know what else to say besides like they are absolutely clueless. And I'll be honest with you, it's very simple. Jerry Jones' entire design right now is not to win a Super Bowl. He doesn't give a shit about that. He just wants to stay competitive and sell jerseys and fill seats. And Dallas Cowboy fans will show up for that. Like, there is no attempt that the Cowboys are making to win games. By the way, they build their roster, their financial, at all. They want to sell jerseys, and they just want to be in the narrative. Whatever, they just want to be the Stephen A. Smith, whatever, talking heads, talking about the Cowboys. That's all he cares about. He does not care if they win a Super Bowl. They don't care. That's where that is. So, yeah, if you get a 2027 first, I would swap. This goes against the way the 49ers have built this year, but I would give up the 27 pick for a first rounder next year, even if it was with, you know, a back end team. Like, shoot, I don't like trading within the division too much, but like a team that's always going to be, let's say, I used to always say the Chiefs, right? Let's say the Buffalo Bills, not in our division. They're going to be in the playoffs, whatever else. If the Bills were like, hey, we'll give you our 2027 first rounder for your number 27 pick this year, straight up, I would do that in a heartbeat. I'd add on a fourth. I'll give you our first and fourth for next year. Like, next year's draft's that good. And I know we hear that a lot, and a lot of time it's hyperbole. No. Next year's draft, bananas. Now, will it be that way at the back end? I don't know. But, oh, man. Oh. Palooza, John Ware, 49ers gear with Miami's colors, fitting to the conversation. It is. Yeah, the Dolphins full on tank mode. That's just where it is. All right. I haven't really had time to talk. We got off topic. I blame you guys. I don't take responsibility for this. Actually, I do. I want to get the conversation back to Christian Kirk, the 49ers wide receiver room rankings, where they fit, and then we'll dive into some more draft talk. Y'all got me excited. Let's get back to that right after this.
49ers rush road trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announce of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which it's going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So, go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event.
All right, let's talk wide receiver Christian Kirk added to the 49ers. 5'11", 200 pounds. You know, he's played all three spots in the NFL. He's played the X, he's played the Z, he's played the slot. Now he's 30 years old, a little bit longer in his career, and he's going to be the slot guy. You look at what he did last year for the Texans. You know, two-thirds of his snaps were out of the slot. That's what he will be. So Mike Evans is your X. Ricky Pearsall is your Z. Christian Kirk is your slot. Then you have Demarcus Robinson, who's kind of your backup for all three spots. He's played all three already for the 49ers in this offense. He knows the X. He knows the Z. He knows the slot. He can play them all. And then you've got Jordan Watkins, who's just going to be your emergency X slash returner. So like Jordan Watkins is just going to continue. That's all he took last year, was that X spot. Now, Jacob Cowing has played slot and X, but I think Jacob Cowing's going to be your emergency slot guy. And then Demarcus Robinson's kind of your backup for all three. And that's your wide receiver room currently. Not a bad wide receiver room at all. Your starters are Mike Evans, Ricky Pearsall, and Christian Kirk. Not bad. The only negative is too many A&M guys. I don't like that. Sorry, Christian Kirk. I didn't mean to say Charlie Kirk. My bad. Apologies there. So Christian Kirk, like, I like him. Is he somebody that, like, moves the needle? You needed veteran depth. You needed veteran depth. That was the, I don't want to say Achilles heel, because so many Achilles have been popped and whatever else on this damn team. But that was the issue. Like, you relied on all these young guys stepping forward, and it didn't really happen. It didn't really happen. So that wide receiver, and so again, kind of the crux of today's episode, the whole idea, you know, I said the 49ers have one of the worst wide receivers rooms in the NFL, if not the worst, heading into offseason. Well, all right, now where do they have? It just off the top of my head, without going through every team, I said around 9 to 12, right? There's 32 teams, so that's better than average. I would argue this 49ers wide receiver room, 9 to 12 ranking. But then I was like, you know what? I kind of want to see. So I just went team by team, and I put every team into three categories. Better than the 49ers, worse than the 49ers, or a push, right? You know, better, worse, close. And then you could dive into that. So I'm going to give you the data that I came up with. Now, teams that I thought the 49ers were better than, and it wasn't even close, and I'll list them. So I'll put the team's names to this. And so if you're listening, I'm going to go relatively quick so you can pause or whatever and go, you know, look up. But I had 11 teams that were clearly worse. Cardinals, Falcons, Ravens, Bills, Browns, Dolphins now for sure, Raiders, Saints, Jets, Titans, Commanders. Way worse. Way worse. And guess what? It was not my plan. I have 11 teams that are clearly better in my opinion. Now, three of them are closer than eight are clearly ahead. So, like, here are the very, very clearly better wide receiver rooms than the 49ers: Bengals, Cowboys, Broncos now, Rams, Seahawks, Jags, Vikings, Eagles. Clearly, that's three. Now, the three that I'm like, I do personally think they have better rooms, wide receiver rooms, than the 49ers, but debate is great and disagreement's even better. So if you disagree, that's okay. This is just my list. You make up your list. Disagreements are good. Lions, Texans, Chargers. I think that those three teams are better than the 49ers overall wide receiver rooms in their current state. That's just me. You disagree with that, that's okay. Now I have eight push teams. And again, with these, you could put the 49ers at the top. I didn't go through and stack 1 through 32. Again, those three categories: better than, worse than, close. These are the close guys. Panthers, Bears, Packers, Colts, Chiefs, Patriots, Giants, Bucks. Those are the eight. So you kind of flesh that out. That puts the 49ers in the 12 to 20 range. If you think the 49ers are better than the Lions, Texans, Chargers, well, then that puts you in the 9 to 17 range. and you could kind of go wherever. So it's a little bit better than average. That's what I have them in their current state. That's awesome. So to go from pretty much last 32nd, you know, 32nd, they were really, really bad to, man, now we're talking 12 to 20. That is a dramatic increase. Mike Evans and, you know, Christian Kirk. I think that that is huge. And so where you want to pencil them in, you know, if you're, you know, one of those guys that's kind of a Niners homer and stuff, and I know people say that I'm like that a lot, and you start looking at it and you're like, man, like, I feel like we're way better than that. That's okay. Go play. Like, I'm biased. I'm a fan. But, like, the Bengals, no. The Cowboys, no. They have two all-pro receivers. Broncos, no. Like, the Broncos room, you could argue the Broncos might have one of the better wide receiver rooms in the NFL right now. Like, they have two clear starters in Sutton. I love Cortland Sutton and Waddle. And they've got, like, three promising young talent that's already done it. Like, they have five studs. Rams, all right, we ain't even playing that damn game. Seahawks, all right. They might be on the back end of this top like, whatever, but still pretty damn good, man. Jags, good Lord. They've got a lot of quality wide receivers there. Eagles and Vikings, like, I don't think that there's any way you could put them in the top eight or not eight. You can't do that. So they're 9 to 20 wherever you have them. I don't think that that's a bad thing. You look at what happened last year in the playoffs, you had nothing. You had the worst I understand how good Seattle's defense was. I get that. But whenever you go back to that 49ers playoff game and you look at the wide receiving output that took place in that Seattle, you know, you got destroyed. But, like, that box score, like, was so clear. Like, what the hell happened, right? Juwan Jennings, 2 catches, 23 yards. DeMarcus Robinson, 1 catch, 1 yard. Kendrick Bourne, 0 catches. Ricky Pearsall, 0 catches. You got no help. You had 3 catches for 24 yards from your wide receivers. That's the entire wide receiver room, by the way. And in a game where you're getting destroyed and you have to go pass happy, 3 catches for 24 yards? Like, you had to revamp that room. Now, Ricky Pearsall wasn't 100%, but he played 40-plus snaps. 0 catches? Like, that's – you kind of can't move on from him. But, yeah, you had to change it. So – whenever I say you were awful, I feel like the proof is right there. You made changes. You saw the weakness. And that's probably one of the things I'm most happy about, is that the 49ers, a lot of times, their front office, fans or the outside will see things as a glaring weakness, and 49ers just shoulder shrugging like, well, we don't see it that way. Jake Brendel, the offensive line, safeties, like, they do that a lot. But this, they agreed. And they're like, yeah, we got to change that. We got to change. Oh, what's up? We got the legend here. Lieutenant Simple Jack, hat tip to you, good sir. Everybody go check out Rob Lauder, the Striking Gold podcast. You're the freaking man. I can tell when Rob gets excited about a player, because he'll text me as I'm going to bed. I think our sleep schedules are off. he'll be texting me and he's like, dude, he'll tell me a wide receiver. This dude, I just don't know. And I love it because, I mean, just the passion and how much he cares about players. So everybody go check out his show. It's awesome. But yeah, so that's where it is. So that's where I have the 49ers in their wide receiver room. I don't think you guys, nobody's arguing with me too much. Christian Kirk's playing slot here. Yeah, that 100%. That's where it's going to be. And I don't think they're done. I still think wide receiver is a still huge need. I would not be shocked if the 49ers took wide receiver in first round. I would put here's how I would put it, okay? I'm going kind of off the top of my head here. I would say 50% is going to be an edge player in round one, 50%. I would say 30% is going to be a wide receiver. Like that, I see that clear of, you know, above every other position. Offensive line, I'm going to put it at about 15%, maybe even less, because this team just doesn't care about it. They just don't. They just don't. And then everything else is going to be around 5%. Man, I wouldn't mind a safety, but they don't care about that. That's me building a roster versus what the 49ers don't care about that. And I don't even have one defensive tackle with a first-round grade. This is a horrible defensive tackle class. Now, hold on. Let me pull that back. It's a horrible defensive tackle draft at the top. It's a very good defensive tackle class in the third round, second round, fourth round, which is where the Niners pick. But, man, I don't have one first-round grade at the defensive tackle. Not one. And so that Osa Odighizuwa trade makes even more sense now, right? Like, dude, you spent a third to go get a stud that's 27. That's awesome. But yeah, wide receiver still a need because you got Band-Aids at the position and Mike Evans. Maybe he plays for 2 years, which would be awesome. Maybe he plays for 3 years. That'd be amazing. Christian Kirk, one-year deal, right? So, yeah, I love that. And it depends on who we draft. But, man, I'd take almost any of them. I'd take almost any of them. Look at this. Kawachipto going heavy in the draft. I love it. You know it's draft season when Kawachipto shows up because the dude's just dropping bombs. Three down edges. Falk, Young, Lawrence. I love this. DPR, defensive pass rushers. Jockus, Thomas, Joseph. I love it. I love it. All those guys could be available. Yeah. I just want the speed rusher. I'm not to the point where I'm discounting the bigger Zion Youngs, you know, whatever else. I'm not to that point, but I'm almost to the point now where it's like, man, if you're not a speed edge bend guy, I don't even think it's happening. It's a speed edge guy right there. That's just the way I see it. Oh, look at this. Daniel Jeremiah mocked Kenyon Sadiq to the 49ers again. That would be fun. I will say this. I do not have a first-round grade on Kenyon Sadiq. I am probably lower on him than almost everybody else. I get that he is a freak. I get that, you know, you look at the testing numbers and the 4.39 and the Vernon Davis similarities. I get it. Niners don't value the tight end position. Never drafted too high. Cameron Latu's the highest they've ever drafted there. That was pick 100, I think it was, or 101. One of the dumbest picks ever, but that's okay. They've never drafted a 6'3 tight end. Kenyon Sadiq, 6'3. He's smaller than Shanahan likes. Does not block well. I'm just going to like 66th grade. I don't want to say he doesn't block well. I want to say he doesn't block consistently well. I get the athleticism and all the things he can do. I'm just way lower on him than everybody else. Would I be upset if they picked him? No. But then I'm like, what are you going to do long-term with George Kittle and Kenyon Sadiq? 49ers under Kyle Shanahan do a lot of, you know, 12 personnel sets, one back, two tight ends. But he's never, ever highlighted two tight ends in his offense, ever. Would that change? Kyle Shanahan change, not really go together well with his personnel and scheme. I don't know. So I don't think Kenyon Sadiq is a realistic option there. But Daniel Jeremiah is smarter than I am. Maybe not as in tune with the 49ers as, you know, obviously we spend our time there. But the evaluation, the fit, Kyle Shanahan, if you think the writing's on the wall with the Achilles, George Kittle injury, that's fair. You can plug him in. I just like a lot of guys in this draft in the second, third round. And tight ends almost always fall. You tell me you spend a second round pick on, you know, Eli Stowers or even Max Clair. Cool. I'm awesome with that. Fourth round pick to whoever falls. Dude, I'd rather spend a fourth round pick on Jack Injuries than I would a first round pick on Kenyon Sadiq. Completely different players that play the same position. That's just my own personal flavor. So if the 49ers took Kenyon Sadiq, who's probably going to go in the top 20 anyway, because other teams value the slot tight end way more than the 49ers. The 49ers value the blocking tight end. Kenyon Sadiq's not that. So, like, the Rams, they're going to love that. All these other teams are going to love that. They're going to plug and play that in there, and they're just going to allow him to be their move slot guy. Niners don't do that. They really, really don't. So, I don't know. I don't like disagreeing with Daniel Jeremiah. I think he's one of the best in the business. I disagree with that. And that's another thing. Like, he ain't going to be there. Kenyon Sadiq's not going to be there. Not with his testing numbers and this poor draft class, all those things. Like, I don't know. Right here. Sadiq and Tonjes with Kittle blocking on the field at one time could be interesting. Kyle doesn't do 13 personnel. He doesn't do it. And the NFL shifted. Kyle don't do that. Like, you know, I always talk the conversations of Kyle Shanahan versus McVay. Same coaching tree, all those things. Completely different skill sets as play callers and schemers, right? Kyle Shanahan's scheme is badass no matter what. Why? Because he knows what his bread and butter is, and he knows all of the defensive rules. And so he builds in counters to every single thing the defense can do, and the answers are built into the play. So even though the outside zone play call is, if you overflow, you have the cutback. It's built into it. All right? If you're slow, then you got the outside. It's there. Pass catching, you know, the routes, all that kind of stuff. Everything is built into the play. The answer and the counter is built into the play. That's why I like Chris Brazel II, by the way. McVay, he's a personnel schemer. And he alluded to this in Jordan Rodriguez. You know, she put out that awesome, you know, play callers, whatever else. You know, he got to his first time with the Rams whenever he first took over. And he's like, dude, we're using tight ends. We're doing the Shanahan thing. We're doing that. And his first offseason training camp, he keeps looking over. And Cooper Kupp, this rookie that he's in love with, is on the sideline over half the time. And he's like, we can't have this. This dude's too good. We got to get him on the field. So he started taking out the tight end. And so not two tight end sets, now one tight end set so we can get three wide receivers out there. Now you look at what McVay has done this year, 13 personnel. He started that shit. He started that. And it went through the NFL like wildfire. You're not seeing a lot of custom scheme package personnel packages from Shanahan. He's doing 21-12. That's what he's going to do. And he ain't changing. McVay, shoot, let's do 11. All right, why not 13? Like, that's a difference. It doesn't mean one's better or worse in certain areas. Definitely they are. Kyle Shanahan's system is tried and true. And he believes in that scheme. His daddy believed in that scheme. Like, it's just what it is. He ain't changing that. And right here, Kyle's going to Kyle. So, could Kyle start to use 13 personnel? Maybe. Not while Kyle Juszczyk's around. He ain't going to do that. So I don't know, man. Oh, look at that. Got a sick hat, JC. Thank you. Happy St. Patty's Day. You guys are awesome. Doc, appreciate the super chat. What's the $20 million credit we got from insurance about? That's, you have that out. It was probably on Fred or Nick Bosa's thing. And so what happens is the way you build these contracts, like you're seeing all these people get signed and like, oh, this much guaranteed, this much fully guaranteed with these incentive bonuses, whatever else. So the credits happened on the likely to be earned contracts or incentives. So for example, I'll give you a very clear, let me pull up the 49ers, whatever. Let's go through. Nah, it's got to be a person on a second contract. Okay, here we go. Very, very easy. Christian McCaffrey. Let's say Christian McCaffrey just did a new deal, right? And he signs for X million dollars with an incentive of $2 million incentive if he has over 1,200 rushing yards, okay? So if he hits 1,200 rushing yards this year, he hits another $2 million bonus, right? Well, here's how the NFL salary cap does the likely to be earned and unlikely to be earned deals. You look at what the player did the previous season. Christian McCaffrey had 1,202 yards rushing last year. So if his incentive is 1,200 yards rushing for $2 million, that goes off the salary cap this year because it's a LTBE, likely to be earned. That counts against the salary cap this year, 2026, if he redid this deal. So you just, that cost $2 million the moment the contract signed this year's cap. But let's say Christian McCaffrey only rushes for 1,000 yards. Well, he didn't hit that $2 million. So now that $2 million gets credited to the following year because it didn't hit. So now you'll get that $2 million back on the cap 2027, and that's the effective cap spending because there's a flat cap, but teams get the bonuses, stuff that they roll over, incentives that weren't hit. Sometimes you can put in there injury-related stuff as well, which I'm sure you know happened with the Bosa one. That's where that comes in. So all those credits and whatever else, a lot of it goes from likely to be earned incentives that were not hit. So if they don't hit, you get that credit the following year. I hope that that made sense. 49erscap.com is way better than I am. They do a much better job that they just special on that. So that's out there. That is there for you guys. Now another player that I want to get to. Mel Kiper did another mock draft, and he, shout out to Mel Kiper, the OG. He says, like, I'm not tuned in with the teams too much. Like, he just does what he thinks should happen. He had the 49ers taking Blake Fisher, offensive tackle. And I'm just going to be very, very honest. Blake Miller out of Clemson, offensive tackle. I love Blake Miller. I think Blake Miller is as close to a gold helmet type player. The 49ers have kind of moved off this language because they realize it's negative connotation whenever somebody's drafted that's not a gold helmet guy. I am about as big of a fan of Blake Miller as I possibly could be. The offensive tackle out of Clemson, I have a first round grade on him. He is awesome. 6'6", 317. I don't think the 49ers will go O-line in round one. I really, really don't. If they did, I would love Blake Miller. I would love this dude. 22 years old. Listen to, he has the most snaps experience of any offensive tackle in this class. 3,778 snaps. He's got a 10 on the experience scale. I would love this dude. 22 years old, king of all trades. There is nothing that he cannot do. Anchor's good. Just really good at everything. He 50 plus starts, mostly at left tackle, mostly at right tackle. He had 100 snaps at left tackle. Probably the thing that he's not great at, and this is the little hiccup, redirection, not his best trait. What's the number one trait for tackles that kick into guard? Redirection. That quick kind of, you know, you've got the outside stunt, boom, you got to plug that inside A-gap. That's probably his worst trait, which at tackle, not that big of a deal. At guard, that's scary. So now the 49ers drafting Blake Miller, you're going to kick him into left guard? Man, that might be the one thing. I think he could do it. He's 6'6", 317. That's fine. 34 and a quarter inch arms. Are you freaking kidding me? 10 yards awesome. 40 yards awesome. I mean, he just everything that you could want. Like, he is freaking awesome, man. I am such a Blake Miller stan. Just clean. The problem is, can he play left guard? So you're just going to draft him and sit him? That doesn't seem to be the 49ers way, especially with them playing Vidarian low. I don't know. So, you know, you've got another one of those kind of just like, right here, Cal Chipto. Don't think he fits what they like at left tackle. And again, yeah, he's played predominantly right tackle. You watch the movement. You can't be concerned with him at left tackle as far as an athleticism standpoint and like size standpoint, length standpoint, quickness, kick slide. Now you've seen him do it on the right side, right? But even at the combine, like the dude's got everything you want. It's hard to find a negative besides the fact he played predominantly on the right side. He moves better than a lot of guys. And this isn't a left tackle draft class, period. Like, it's not. Almost everybody that has played, like, or that's kind of on the board at left tackle, like, let's see here. Who's got the most snaps? Here are your right tackle predominant players, okay? You've got Maogia, Miami guy. He's not going to be there. He's a right tackle, or played right tackle. Fano played right tackle. Blake Miller played right tackle. Max Iannakou played right tackle. Dunker played right tackle. Brian Parker, right tackle. Crownover, right tackle. Like, all the top guys have played right tackle. Now, here's where it gets weird. The guy that's played the most left tackle, Kaden Proctor, I don't even think is a scheme fit. And I think it SF Data Niners on Twitter does a great job, and they kind of aggregate data. And, you know, the most mock draft player to the 49ers is Kaden Proctor out of Alabama. Dude's not a scheme fit. Like, I don't even think he's on the 49ers board. So, like, that's the guy with the most left tackle snaps. Caleb Lomu, sure. I'm not sold on Caleb. Now, Monroe Freeland's going to be a top 10 player this draft for me. Niners don't even have a shot at sniffing that dude. If he was there, sure. But in a draft where there's not true left tackles, the truest left tackle, Monroe Freeland, might be the first tackle on the board. First tackle off the board. I'm telling you right now, I will be betting very big on Monroe Freeland going very early in this draft, by the way. So just saying that. Raphael John says, John, where'd you get that hat? Man, I got this hat a long time ago. So I would say just Google 49ers 90s or 49ers like green. I know it looks kind of bluish on here. It's got some green in there, but the light makes it look kind of bluer. Anyway, yeah, it's a weird hat. I wear it on St. Patty's into the pool, you know, when it's party time. That's that's when I wear it. And right here, yeah, J-Dog says praying for Proctor at 27. I don't think he's on the Niners board. I really, really don't. I understand how athletic he is. That dude has the worst 10-yard split of any tackle in this draft. Any. Like, so you're going to plug in a guy that has the worst movement? And, yeah, he's very, very athletic for his size. But here's, like, I don't know, man. He's huge. And his tape is good. His tape is good. You watch him versus, like, R.W. Mason or R. Mason Thomas, it just shuts the dude down. Like, but that's Alabama tackles. They're bigger and stronger than everybody else. I just not so sure it's a scheme fit. Yeah, he was 390 pounds a couple years ago at Alabama. Now he's down to 352 at the combine. And, man, I don't know. Ran a 5.2, 140, a 1.84, but a 32-inch vertical. Like, that's badass. That's better than I could do right now. It ain't even close. This dude weighed 350, jumping out the gym. It's awesome what he is. I just don't think I don't think he's scheme fit, man. I really don't. He's good. He's really good. But, like, Trent Brown, you remember the 49ers had Trent Brown. Like, he's Trent Brown. That's what he is. The 49ers had Trent Brown when Kyle Shanahan came in. First year, Trent Brown was the right tackle. What happened a year after that? They traded him for pennies on the dollar. He got rid of him, drafted Mike McGlinchey, and he's like, yeah, that guy's not going to fit my scheme. So now you mean tell me Kyle's going to about face, spend a first-round pick on a Trent Brown clone? I don't know, man. I would like them to invest in the offensive line. And Kaden Proctor, 1,000%, could play left guard. And a lot of teams might have him valued at left guard, or right tackle. Like, they might have him just there. But you put him in a power gap scheme, and that dude's going to thrive. You put him in a zone scheme, and you're just kind of like, nah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm out on the Kaden Proctor, Kenyon Sadiq first round mock. Doesn't mean it won't happen. Just my opinion. Kyle Shanahan gets fixated on something. There ain't no stopping him. So maybe he falls in love with one of those guys, in which case that's okay. I don't think either one of those are bad picks. My being persuaded against those selections is being John Malkovich, right? I'm trying to step into the head of Shanahan and decipher what he's done for over a decade with the Niners, why this fits, why that doesn't. That's why I don't think Kaden Proctor or Kenyon Sadiq are realistic options there. Could be wrong. Kenyon Sadiq going to be gone before 27. Kaden Proctor, maybe not, because I think a lot of zone schemes are going to not have him on their board. So we'll see what that is. right here, I got to put it in there. What's up, man? A-Boss, he says, so Brendel getting overpowered and quitting mid-play is a scheme fit? Apparently so. He ain't got to convince me. It's not like he only does it 20 times a game, but yeah, it's there, man. It ain't going to change. You got to be nice to the locker room. You get your free Toyotas. Quit mid-play. It's what it is, man. I don't know. I do have one more thing to say before I bounce out of here. And the Trey Lance trade is now 100% finished. It is done. Every single player involved, every single draft pick involved is now no longer on their original team. So Trey Lance, obviously no longer the Niners. Jalen Waddle, who they took with that pick, he traded today. Tyreek Hill, who they traded the other first, he's gone. Bradley Chubb, the other first they traded for, he's gone. The trade is done. To tell us die, it is finished. Take that for what you will. The funny thing is, the Dolphins 100% won that trade. Not even close. They got zero playoff wins, and they got zero division titles despite dominating that trade. The draft is important. What you do to acquire talent is important. Coaching is everything. And I remember people saying, like, oh, he's putting his job on the line. Shanahan's putting his job on the line. Sure about that? You sure about that? Narratives rarely go the way they're trying to steer them. Shanahan. Dude ain't going nowhere. And it's been a badass offseason. I hope that it continues. I really, really, really do. Gosh, it's going to be fun. The draft's going to be a blast. We got a lot more content coming your way. I will have a live tomorrow as well. And now it's time to go break down some tape. I got some Christian Kirk tape that I'm going to break down. That's going to be up at the 49ersrush.com. Go sign up, 7-day free trial. You can watch every single player that the 49ers have added this free agency. We have tape breakdowns, all 22, not highlight tapes. We're talking game tape, snap in, snap out, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything you want. That's up on our Patreon channel, link in the description of the video, and on the 49ersrush.com. Those are up there. You guys are awesome. And, man, it was a fun episode. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.